With that commentary in mind, is there a motion on the second side? Motion's been made. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Section six. Dangerous offender.
Section six. Drive model sentencing allows against penalty in certain circumstances. This differs from my preliminary draft number one in a number of respects. We have amended sub one and two. Under sub one, we limit it now on the defendant's being sentenced for a class A felony. And the court finds that he is suffering from a severe personality disorder indicating a propensity towards criminal activity. That's language right out of that criteria, language right out of the Model Sentencing Act.
Now, the sentence that it struck you that limit that only class A felony.
Yes, it did. Under two, the defendant is being sentenced for a felony that seriously endangered the life or safety of another, has been previously convicted of a felony not related to the incident crime, is a single criminal episode, and the court finds that he is suffering from a severe personality disorder, seriously. Three separate criteria there. Then we define under three, previously convicted of a felony means, then we have adopted language here on out in the section from the Habitual Criminals Act that we now have.
So that is exclusive to 5A felony, because under two, it could be sentenced for a felony to endanger the life of the right.
Right, but under two, you see, you've got another element the court has to find. He has to have a previous conviction, whereas under one, he doesn't.
Why do you eliminate court martials?
I think the court martials
this would
under the Habitual Criminal Act, they count, don't they?
No, they don't. This is language right out of the Habitual Criminal Statute, although I've changed the term previously convicted of a felony. Fit into our language. The limitations are the same as an individual criminal. Chapter 168.
Yeah, that's
where do you find that?
168.01.
Okay,
I didn't require the court martial.
Other than a court martial. Is there no due process in court martial?
No,
court martial is
covered
in
the
general
court.
So we've taken the 20 years, which I think is too long, and added 10 to it.
Right.
I can read the books.
We didn't double it.
No, didn't make it 40 yet.
Now, this section contemplates repealing the Habitual Criminal Act and repealing the sex offender statute.
All the other enhanced penalty statutes go by the board. This would be the only enhanced penalty statute. In some way, it's tougher than the present Habitual Criminal Act, but generally, it's not.
Well,
not life for the
it's
fourth
gonna
bed
be
check.
More difficult to prove.
Yes, it will. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that you might say for all practical purposes, the teeth were taken out of the Was it the last session or the one before? So there's really what this commission does with them, it really doesn't make any great difference. I think the problem with this is going to be is how you're going to prove all these things.
Well, we have now Section 7 as a companion section to this, and it sets up the procedure for the examination of the defendant and provides for a hearing and all this.
Now, what's the determination that's been made as to whether the medical condition is serious or pre-existing disorder? What if it's cured? Is there a provision in the release of the defendant?
Well, there are
all pistols.
No, we have another provision on examination and review every 5 years, the maximum.
Don, I don't read your language here as free-flowing, so to speak. You got a full sentence here, and that's determined for an intent, comma, if the court finds, they could further find, comma, as provided in Section 7 of this article. Where's your sentence completed?
What sentence are you talking about?
In the very first sentence.
He has completed at a comma, at the first comma.
The maximum term of an indeterminate sentence of imprisonment for 8 years is 30 years. Yeah.
Is 30 years.
Make that period right there. And then if
the court finds because of the dangers.
If the court finds that.
Not if the court finds it's 30 years if the court does this and that, so on and so forth.
The maximum term is 30 years, but it's 40 years if these things happen. So
I understand. Do you think it reads to a point? I think we have too many bats
in the dump. Everyone understand this? Hopefully, yes.
It doesn't require any filing of information by the district attorney or anything like that. It does give you an opportunity to deal with the first offender if he falls into the dangerous offender category. You'll have to wait for the second offense. If he falls under sub 1, he could be sent to the dangerous offender the first time around.
Correct.
Well, isn't it practical that when they have to fall in, it raises the question that he may be a dangerous offender?
Practical matter, you mean the DA is going to have to raise it?
Probably have to file a.
It's certainly not required.
Yeah, but there's got to be some type of.
Section 7, this procedure, except where we talk about Oregon statutes, existing statutes, this is the procedure that's prescribed under the Model Sentencing Act also. And language is whenever in the opinion of the court there is reason to believe the defendant falls under Section 7. So the court could be of that opinion as a result of motion raised by the district attorney.
I just wonder if we shouldn't say may fall. Because.
What are you saying, may? Where?
7 sub 1. Whenever, depending on the court, they reasonably believe the defendant falls within Section 6. Well, you can't tell whether he does until you've had the psychiatric examination.
And if the defendant may fall, then.
And may fall.
Is fall a good term or should becomes within this section?
Yeah. Why don't you say the court may order a pre-sentence investigation rather than
Well, I think we wanted to require the pre-sentence as additional protection for the defendant. The court is going to have a pre-sentence. In addition, plus the psychiatric.
What would you say if we just required the court to have a pre-sentence investigation for all Class A, B, and C felons, or otherwise on Class C?
That'd be fine with me, except I would prefer the language of the federal statute, which says there shall be a pre-sentence except conditions. For example, I had a guy in the other day, tried to shoot the cop. He had had a pre-sentence 4 months ago. Why should I have a pre-sentence on it? Because he sent us there to the court and got his pre-sentence. So I wouldn't.
Did you try that for yourself? Did those are
jury? So, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't say that. Of course, you got to have a pre-sentence.
Sure. But there are some cases where you really don't need one.
That's right.
First offender on the check case.
Right.
You have a probation. Well, the free time loser on an expedited possession of firearm, you're going to give them the maximum. Like we're arguing, you've got a jail within 90 days while somebody goes out and makes a report that doesn't play.
I agree that there's instances in which you shouldn't do it.
Plus, it was brought up in subcommittee discussion that there are some counties where, as a practical matter, they just can't do it. They're just not set up to do it.
Well,
they don't have the facilities available to them.
What facilities?
The probation officers who can do these write-ups of the pre-sentence.
Well, the problem is, of course, in some counties, as a practical matter, it's just never done. Now, whether this is because the judges in Lakeview and the parole or probation people are in bend and there's too much running back and forth, or what it is.
Well, Greg, you have, I thought that in most cases that there is a pre-sentence investigation unless there's some obvious reason for not having it. But I was under the impression that every county had access to the necessary facilities to conduct the pre-sentence investigation.
That's the theory, but I think every county, every judge did require one. We need considerably more manpower. They, in fact, don't all ask for pre-sentence investigation. And maybe that we can write in, give the judge the discretion, but make the law kind of lean toward pre-sentence investigation rather than the other way.
Well, that's what the federal, I think it's a federal rule, criminal procedure. It says, in effect, you got to have one except under certain things.
Well, I can see some real reasons for not having them, but as I said, I think two or three counties in the state, two or three judicial districts in the state would have practically never asked.
Yeah, but you see, that's one of the problems of these fellows, is that the people, the probation people in Portland, that's why there's overloaded, is because they sold the judges up there on the necessity of pre-sentence. We have a caseload and pre-sentence load that just going on site for the last couple of years. You know, victims of their own success in a way.
What was the thing you did before?
I had one the other day, you won't believe this, I had one the other day that came in about the 20th of April. This pre-sentence had been ordered on the 12th of December. Now that's quite unusual. Average 6 weeks to 60 days.
I think that's generally true around the state.
There is no question it's a real problem where the guy is in custody. He's not in custody, why?
Yeah.
What's another 60 days? That's no real problem. But if he's in custody, it's the devil of a problem.
But anyway, we felt here that we should certainly require it. You're going to give him an additional
time. For 30 years.
Oh, yeah. If you're adding 10 or 20 years to his sentence, then I think that you've got to have something more than his demeanor on the witness stand, or his failure to take the stand, or a lousy argument by attorney or something else to base it upon. The thing I get to is that I say there's some courts in the state. There's really not much knowledge on the part of the judge except what's brought out at the trial of what the guy is like. And there are guys who go through these counties that have picked up for a car wrap and or something of this sort in County X. And you know, nobody there knows anything about him. All they know is that he's been on a hot list someplace and got picked up and put in the pokey and comes to trial in that county just as an action of geography.
Well, what is your wish with respect to this?
Move to approve section 7.
Chairman, I move that we amend section 7.
How about section 6 first?
I move to approve.
All right, motion's been made that section 6 be approved. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Carried. Now, Judge Burns, with respect to section 7.
I move we amend the second line so that it reads the defendant may fall rather than the defendant falls.
Statute says when there's reason for the judge to believe.
You've heard the motion. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Motion's defeated. Motion's been made, section 7 be approved. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carried.
That's starting to look on John's face.
Is that a close call?
I like Jeremy that iron and ham with a gavel.
You don't want to know.
That's my
advice. You serve better too, but.
Chairman, would this be appropriate time to discuss our question? I'm going to call the wife.
Don, now you haven't been too accurate in your predictions. You're like the weatherman in Eastern Oregon.
Oh, thank you.
Now, this item 6 on our agenda, theft and related offenses. Now, how long is that going to take us?
It shouldn't take us hardly any time.
If we start at 5:30, it may take longer if we start early in the morning.
Well, really, there are simply amendments to what we have already done. Now, grading we can put off, I suppose, till tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, our agenda will be this. If we don't finish grading, we're going to take up firearms section or the provision first. And with respect to firearms, I might say this, subject to your approval. Before we spend the whole day on it, I'd like to get a vote of the committee, the commission, to see whether or not all of our discussion is going to be fruitful or not. See if we want to do anything. If we don't, then we'll get through early tomorrow. On the other hand, if...
You mean you want us to vote on final form before we take it up?
No, I mean
on, I know
the subject. And then if the majority of the commission wants to probe into it in depth, I anticipate that it's going to take one hell of a long time. And then following that, we will take up grading.
You sound like a federal judge in pre-trial.
Don't say those things. So, John, why don't we get into this theft, and then we'll adjourn.
Well, all right. I don't think grading's going to take that long, Mr. Chairman.
Well, great, it shouldn't.
No, once
go ahead and start. Shoot.
If someone could move the adoption of the bullet.
But you want to go on to grading the theft now?
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
And I think we can do them all in 25 minutes.
Okay.
Don will get on the ball.
All right. All right, what this does, Section 2, the new section that we put in here, consolidates theft offenses. We've already basically done that in our theft article anyway. All this does is go ahead and spell out the procedural consequences of this consolidation. And what we've done, in effect, is say it doesn't make any difference what kind of theft you commit, it's still theft. With one exception, and that's theft by extortion, because we've classified that as a higher felony. In other words, it's a B felony instead of a C, as all the other theft felonies are. We require a pleading of that and proof of that. Otherwise, if it falls within theft, as we've defined that term under Section 3, sufficient in your charge, whether it's an indictment or information if it alleges that the defendant committed theft of property of the nature or value required for the commission of the crime, without designating a particular way or manner in which the theft was committed. And,
you're just getting rid of all those.
We're getting rid of all this.
Any
problem that you run into now, have for years, as to whether it's in
RC5BD,
where it fits.
Move we approve section 2.
In other words, on or about whatever day is charged with crime of death, committed in Multnomah County, Oregon, according to statute.
Value of $296.
Well, yeah.
In the item sold.
Yeah, what it was.
Sure. Stole a car worth $700.
Property. You don't have to say that he signed the agreement with her credit card or something.
And you probably have children's property.
Yeah, sure. Theft of property of the nature of value. I think this is
question.
This is counting for a question.
All right, you've heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Vote no, carried. Section 3.
Well, it's basically the same as we have before, except I've had to change the section numbers at all because 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah. Heard the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Carried. Section 4.
Okay, section 4 is amended. It's new now. Now, I split it up. Now, we could have gone either petty theft and grand theft, but I felt since we've used the degree format and elsewhere, your petty theft would be under theft in the second degree. The value that the subcommittee recommended was less than $250.
So we're going from 75 as a breaking point of felony misdemeanor to 250.
This is how we recognize the Democrats and political policy.
Exactly.
And we classify it as an A misdemeanor.
Move we approve 4 and 5.
You've heard the motion, 4 and 5. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
You boys laugh now. You wait.
Section 7.
Okay, section 7 is just housekeeping. We've had to restructure it to make paragraphs. Places where we formerly had subsections. We pick up subsection 2 where it's graded as a Class B felon.
We approve section 7.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no, carry. Page 5, section 11.
Okay, well. All we've done there is insert the amount $250 over on page 6 for sub 3. It's presumed to be less than $250.
Approve section 11.
Heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no, carry. Section 13.
Theft of services is picked up and made part of our theft article. We originally considered as a separate article as we consolidate down to our basic theft graph, and it's graded as a Class A misdemeanor.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Gary, section 14.
Section 14 likewise is brought over as part of the theft article and classified as a Class C felon.
It's taken use.
Yes, it's a daily music standard.
Move we approve section 14.
Did you ever further discuss the use of horses in this meeting? We
certainly did.
In the subcommittee.
We got aircraft in there.
Yeah, we kept aircraft. I want horses.
My problem.
Hey, I got a question. Oh. We've done away with larceny in a store, so to speak. Right. Now, we've upped the dividing line between the felony and misdemeanor insofar as the shoplifting. So we get the portable TV sets that are costing about $195, $238, and so on. We've got the professional shoplifting taking those. It's a misdemeanor crime. We go under theft here. Is there any aggravating, I can't remember, is there any way we can go after him on a felony basis?
What we do is we promise to put him in prosecutor's jail.
So he escapes and we charge him with escape.
Yeah.
Well,
put them in tomorrow with parts off guard.
But there isn't any way to get him for a felony unless the value of the property is up there.
I move we approve section 14.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried.
Well, obviously it came out of a good subcommittee, Bob.
Yeah.
14. First thing we did.
Don, do you want to try grading?
Yeah, I might take a run at it.
All right, go.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion. I move that we approve everything that the subcommittee on grading did with one exception, and that is make first degree burglary a Class A felony rather than Class B. Otherwise, I approve the whole thing. We had all that. How about the rest of it?
You weren't.
Well, I thought you read the minutes.
I did.
Well.
That's why I've got some serious questions.
What page do we start on? I see you've got the charts.
You start on the page and on the sentence charts.
Right.
The first page?
Well, now.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
This first chart was really the last one done, and this is just to give you a general idea of how many felonies and misdemeanors we have in each classification. We have the basic chart is the ninth one you want to look at is really the last one, which goes through all of our offenses and shows the classification that the subcommittee placed on them. Now there are exceptions in there. At the time we had it, the subcommittee, the firearms and weapons draft, had not been completed, so we couldn't grade that, nor had miscellaneous offenses. Well, we've already disposed of miscellaneous offenses this morning. So that leaves us firearms as the only new thing in here that has not been before.
Did you put it in?
The subcommittee. Yes, I put it in.
20 last day.
I'm not sure that it's, well, it's not in every one of those, but on firearms and weapons, we got them classified, but I felt that you may want to wait until tomorrow to grade those anyway, since we're going to have to wait until the clock gets here. It depends on what you do with the firearms, aren't you? But there are certain ones in there. You probably want to retain if you decide not to have any gun registration. For example, possession of a deadly weapon, third degree, possession of a deadly weapon, second degree, first degree. Third degree is a Class C misdemeanor, second degree, C misdemeanor, and first degree, a Class C felony. Carrying a concealed weapon, second degree, Class C misdemeanor.
I think so.
Carrying concealed weapon, first degree, Class A misdemeanor. Illegal trafficking of deadly weapons, B misdemeanor. Illegal use of firearms, Class A misdemeanor. Failing to comply with firearms, requirements violation. Illegal traffic and destructive devices, a Class C felony. Defacing a firearm, a Class A misdemeanor. And furnishing explosives to a minor, a Class A misdemeanor.
Wow, I
but, I mean, that's very tenuous because I didn't know what you'd want to do with the firearms article. But everything else in here is the recommendation of the subcommittee.
All right.
I have on the list then.
I haven't. Maybe I couldn't understand. Class A felony is an attempt to commit murder or treason. A Class B felony is an attempt to commit a Class A felony. I don't understand.
Okay, murder or treason
are unclassified.
Are treated separately. We don't grade them as we say in the murder section. Murder is punishable by life in prison. Treason, we say treason is punishable by life in prison. Every other felony we classify in one of our grades. So we had to treat them separately here.
Well, I just have listed as a Class A felony, attempt to commit murder.
An attempt, yes, an attempt to do it is a Class A felony because that's a step down. And what this does is
an attempt to commit
even though the completed act by the manslaughter,
murder and treason are not Class A felonies.
Right, framework.
Yeah, I see. I
attempt to carry half.
A little slow.
All the way down the line, it's a step down. So You don't get the same sentence for an attempt as you would for completed offense. This is contrary to the model penal code approach.
It's attempting.
And this is endorsed by Professor Plank.
The man had it.
This result of compromise showed that it's a reasonable.
Yeah, he got threatened that his expense voucher wouldn't be approved.
Well, you don't have a test and say that's it.
Don't get your lunch.
All right, Don. Class A felonies, any objection to those?
Which one?
I don't have any objection to them. I only think, Mr. Chairman, that since we keyed the same elements, that is, possession of a weapon or injury to a person, and so on, the aggravating elements, since we keyed the identical ones to first-degree robbery that we did to first-degree burglary, and since we're talking about going into a person's home and all that business, I think first-degree burglary should be a Class A felony.
Those two crimes, there were some disagreements.
I'll move to amend the Class A felony list by including Class A burglary, first degree arson.
Any discussion? Any objection?
May I have Mr. Chairman?
Pardon me, your thoughts? Yes.
No, to check and see what the
discussion was.
I see Senator Burns was in favor of the
We
didn't discuss arson.
We did,
as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, arson.
The salad shank community.
As a matter of fact, I thought it should be a Class A felony.
We discussed it, but the majority vote was to make it be.
And that was the same thing on burglary.
That's right. I guess that's right. I was of the opinion that...
You were against me on the other one.
No. I said that if we were going to make arson first degree, we should make burglary first degree also.
As I recall, this was getting fairly late in the evening.
This is after we left for 14 hours that day.
I frankly don't think it makes a hell of a lot of difference.
10 years.
You mean that's a long time?
Well,
all right, you've heard the motion, now a discussion. What does Frank Knight think about it?
I think that both of them should be Class A felonies. I think it makes a difference.
I take it back.
because your second degree burglary and second degree arson probably should then be moved up to Class B.
Well, I think it's the same basic thing as you, a person coming into a situation where the victim does not have knowledge of it, where you get killed in pretty short order by somebody trying to commit this crime. It's a pretty serious crime.
You're the one who's arguing against a 20-year sentence.
Yeah, I still would argue against a 20-year sentence, but I think there's a grade of crime compared to these other things. I think that first degree arson is equally heinous as first degree robbery.
How do you feel, Representative Frost?
Oh, okay.
No.
No charge. No charge.
Question. The motion is to move first degree robbery and first degree burglary.
Arson, yes.
Burglary and arson into the Class A felony.
First degree burglary and first degree arson.
Yeah. Call the roll.
A joint motion?
Yeah. Do you want them separately?
Let's have them separately.
All right, let's have burglary first.
Judge Burns?
No.
Senator Burns?
Aye.
Carson?
No.
Chandler?
Aye.
Frost?
No.
Hodge?
Aye.
Jernstil?
Aye.
Knight?
Aye.
Young?
No.
Chair?
help.
Five, five, been defeated, John.
No.
Five,
four, no. Okay, we've got burglary up on top, now arson.
Before we go to arson, Mr. Chairman, do you want to take a look at burglary in the second degree now?
No.
No, not yet.
I believe that is a C.
Okay. Arson in the first degree.
Judge Burns?
Aye.
No, I was fine. No. Aye.
Well, you know, I mean, it is 5-5. I couldn't have this problem here.
Five.
I thought it was 5-5.
Yeah, it is 5-5.
5-5 means that it is defeated, and it remains as a Class B.
I changed my vote, Mr. Chairman. Serve notice that I may move to reconsider when General Johnson comes back.
Take notice of the. Of the notice. Arson, go ahead and call it over.
Aye. Judge Burns.
Aye.
Senator Burns.
Oh, it's late in the day.
And serve notice that I may move to reconsider.
Well, wait a minute. The vote hasn't been taken.
I know, I know.
But he can read the vote.
Carson.
Aye.
Chandler.
Aye.
Frost.
Aye.
Hawes.
Aye.
Jernstedt.
Aye.
Knight.
Aye.
Young.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye. Perry.
Aye, serve notice that I may move. I don't understand.
Have a minute, show.
No, I understand your logic. The first one's right.
Now, Class B felonies. A tenth, committed Class A, soliciting Class A, conspiracy committed Class B, manslaughter, assault first degree, kidnapping second degree, rape second, sodomy second, theft by extortion, burglary first, arson. Robbery second, bribe giving, bribe receiving, escape first degree, compelling prostitution, criminal activity and drugs. That's it.
I move we approve I move we amend by adding arson second.
All right, you've heard the motion. Anyone wish to address themselves to the motion? Call the roll.
Judge Burns.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to be so slow on the draw here on the second degree, but I'd like to remind us all about our definition of second degree arson. Now, that's the one where he damages any building of another. Now, this, we talked about this a great deal in both the subcommittee and the commission when we talked about arson generally. Now, second degree, because of our definition of building, means that a man can be convicted of arson for burning down a garage or an outhouse, any kind of a shed or anything, because it's a building.
Is that the only thing that's involved in second degree?
Right. It's not protected property. Right. So it seems to me you're slugging in a pretty stiff penalty here for what may be a pretty minor.
Yeah.
I withdraw my motion.
I
move we approve the Class B felony.
Motion's been made Class B felony to be approved. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carry.
No, I record me voting no. I don't approve of the burglary in the first degree of Class B felony.
Class aye. C felonies.
I move we approve.
Motion's been made to approve it. Have you looked at it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Nothing to know about lawyers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carry.
Aye.
Tonight, voting no, technically.
I tell you, you gotta have 50 pages in this for minority view.
We have a minority report.
No minority
report. anybody who wants to join in a minority report, I'll print it for free.
Now, our forward is going to have a sentence or two that says, not in all cases where the votes are unanimous.
Yeah.
If that's all you're going to say.
Other felonies, murder and treason.
Now, both of those would be life imprisonment.
Chairman, I remain silent all afternoon because I agree with partly of what you've done, but I disagree with the automatic imposition of a life sentence for murder because I remind you of the homicide statute that we have abolished degrees of murder. And we did that for the purposes of removing the metaphysical differences that have grown up between degrees and that, remembering historically, they were inserted to allow juries or allow conviction. The death penalty couldn't be imposed. The result of this provision means that you will be imposing automatically now a life sentence, whereas under existing law you could not, for instance, in second degree murder. Now, a better reason I think is making this a maximum of life, or a maximum up to, in other words, crimes of murder, would reflect the policy, I believe, in the homicide statute. And that is to treat people who have killed others, who have committed the crime of murder, different, because they are different. A man who waits, lies in wait to kill his wife's lover, I contend, is not near so dangerous as a man who shoots into the crowded room of children, just at random, just because he is that kind of a person. But you're treating them both the same. There's not to be a man who shoots his wife's lover, I think that Bruce Pauling, his years of criminal practice will tell you that it's not going to be a recidivist. It's not going to be the problem.
He's not going to be
a really dangerous kind of guy. And yet you are removing the flexibility from the murder provisions by treating everybody exactly alike and not allowing the court to look at pre-sentence reports and to look at individuals.
Well,
good Lord, is
this an
automatic life?
No, it isn't. It's up to a maximum of life.
No,
no,
we've kept it the same as it is under existing statute for first degree murder.
It is automatic life.
First degree murder.
Ought not to be. You ought to say there ought to be a maximum.
Well, that's what it is now.
First degree.
That's right. First degree is automatic life.
Could a court convict a guy of attempting to commit murder
when he's actually killed somebody?
Without convicting them of murder, you know, they can't.
No.
The jury can't. You don't give the jury cop out as the current phrase.
They can't dispose of the corpus delicti.
Well, there.
Why is your point? And if they did, he'd get capitalized.
No, that'd be a class A felony. That'd be a class A felony. Attempting to commit murder is a class A felony.
Well, it's assault with intent to kill. The same thing now, where.
If you actually kill, you've got to be convicted of killing, not just of attempting to kill.
But you might empty five rounds into me and have to report it.
He would have got lung cancer someday.
Lung cancer, yeah. And that's, you can be convicted of attempting to get murdered.
So if you actually die, why you can't be convicted of attempting?
Absolutely
murder.
Not.
What would happen when Jerry brought back to that?
They wouldn't be given that verdict. They wouldn't be given that verdict form.
But there have been courts' opinions that have said that you can be convicted of an attempt even though you have completed the substantive act.
In what kind of cases?
Well, there have been appeals where a person has been convicted of an attempt to try to say, you know, the evidence clearly showed that that the act was either consummated or it didn't occur, and so the jury compromised and found me guilty of an attempt.
Was that where there was a dispute as to the facts and they could have found either way?
Yeah. As far as the testimony of the victim, would it had to be either.
Wow. You want to hear
The Harris case, he appealed and found, you know, it couldn't be manslaughter either. It had to be first degree or not. And they said, well, although the evidence clearly showed first degree.
Well, the evidence in that Harris case didn't show, clearly show first degree.
Well, if he did it. Yeah, if he did it, then there was no way that it could have been done except by premeditation.
But there was all kinds of evidence in that case. They could have found anything.
The Supreme Court, in its review of it, saw it pretty clearly that he had actually killed her.
Yeah, he had too. Don's going to read the definition of murder as we have.
Consent is provided in subsection 2 of section 3 of this article, and that's the manslaughter section. Criminal homicide constitutes murder when A, it is committed intentionally or knowingly, or B, it is committed recklessly under circumstances manifesting extreme indifference to the value of human life, or it is committed by a person acting either alone or with one or more persons who commits or attempts to commit arson in the first degree, burglary in the first degree, escape in the first degree, kidnapping in the first degree, rape in the first degree, robbery in any degree, or sodomy in the first degree, and in the course of and in furtherance of the crime he is committing or attempting to commit, or the immediate flight therefrom, he or another participant, if there be any, causes the death of a person other than one of the participants. Then we have the affirmative defense to paragraph C, that the defendant was not the only participant in the underlying crime and did not commit the homicidal act or in any way solicit, request, command, importune, cause, or aid the prisoner, and was not armed with a dangerous or deadly weapon, and had no reason or ground to believe that any other participant was armed with a dangerous or deadly weapon, and had no reason or ground to believe that any other participant intended to engage in conduct likely to result in death. It is a defense to a charge of murder that the defendant's conduct consisted of causing or aiding without the use of duress or deception another person to commit suicide. Nothing contained in this subsection 3 shall constitute an offense to a prosecution for or preclude a conviction of manslaughter or any other crime. Then, section 3, it's manslaughter when it's committed recklessly or a homicide which would otherwise be murder is committed under the influence of extreme mental or emotional disturbance for which there is a reasonable explanation and excuse. Reasonableness of such explanation and excuse shall be determined from the standpoint of the person in the actor's situation under the circumstances as he believes them to be.
I've got approximately solved. I forgot. You told me.
Well, there you are.
I would never want to be a judge after
you want to have
instructions on that.
Chair, I would move that the penalty for treason and murder
maximum life
would be maximum of life.
Discussion.
Well, if you do that, then I think it's very important that you establish legislative criteria for the imposition of lesser sentence. Problems in the armed robbery section is a broad, unhelpful statement that it shall be life with such lesser term as the court believes proper in cases for leniency should be shown. I do not believe that kind of criteria is adequate.
Professor Platt, what criteria would you suggest? I think that it would be better to make it automatic life and then have no restriction on the parole board to let them out than to say the maximum shall be life and put in another statute that they shall serve a third or...
The average now is 12 years, approximately 11 to 12 years, and then about right on life sentence of all time in Oregon.
That's
you could anticipate that may continue. In fact, the sentence should be no more than 2 or 3 years. Based on the personality, even though it's a person.
Does that district take into account the experiences you had full time parole board?
No. I think there's any major differences. I think
that's the person's view. It's too new to tell because actually those averages are a little bit unsure because of the limited numbers involved. When you say average, it is a mathematical average, but the numbers are relatively small, and you shouldn't.
You get these like
don't own a certain 40 years.
He's still over.
One guy 30 years, another guy 10. He's got an average of 20.
Well, the average is feeling pretty good.
John, my memory, as I recall, there are criteria set out for the imposition of a death penalty, but they're not. Could we perhaps borrow a swatch of that, most of it, distinguishing between a life sentence and a number of years?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at ice for a while.
I haven't either.
Life sentence under this result in life sentence? Or
no, it doesn't.
It doesn't, as I understand it. Any more than
I had one not
a 30-year sentence results in a 30-year confinement.
I had one not too long ago who was sentenced to life as a provincial criminal. He did 7 years back.
Sentenced him again. Why?
I had to tend to his former life.
You what?
I had to tend to his former life. He was burglarizing. Supermarket, not a deputy sheriff.
He gave him life.
No. Maximum I gave him 10, but it was an instance where this guy had served 7 years on a provincial life sentence.
This doesn't shock me as much as it does Dave, or frighten me as much as it does George Platt.
Well, I'm simply saying I think it would be more consistent to allow flexibility in this kind of sentence, since we have put flexibility in the definition of term.
But if you've got the flexibility of the parole and probation, the correction division stays alive, you need it twice.
Give him another way to get out of a conviction for murder that isn't there now. The legislature in the statute 144.230, which, as you know, is the only area in which we do, in effect, have minimum sentences because of limitation placed on the parole board. 1963 by the legislature, and I assume it was as a result of the repealing of the death penalty.
Well, it was in there to be enacted if the death penalty was repealed.
Would that remain? The 10-year minimum, would it remain?
No.
We haven't expressly repealed it, but this was on the list of things to talk about tomorrow in connection with the overall code.
Pardon me that I asked.
No. It really didn't fit in here.
Well, I wouldn't approve automatic life without voting to repeal the minimum of 10. In view of the fact that we're lumping the 25-year max right in here. Well, what were you going to say, Don?
I said all of
this. Do you wish to take action on this today? Murder and treason?
Might as well.
Well, let's somebody make a motion. Pardon?
I have a motion.
Oh, all right, I beg your pardon. What was it?
Your maximum.
Oh, that's right. Motion is that this be amended so that the maximum is life. Call the roll.
Judge Burns? Senator Burns?
No, I guess.
Clark?
No.
Chen?
No.
Brock?
Draw the motion.
Pop?
No.
Drinkin?
No.
Johnson? Knight?
No.
Young?
No.
Chairman?
No.
Again, is there a motion that be approved?
I'm moving approved.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. I want to state that I would have voted for this, but we sure as hell better change that 10-year minimum. Class A misdemeanors. You looked them over. A lot of tampering.
Hey, I said the same thing 5 minutes ago. You're just wasting time by reading.
Motion to approve Class A misdemeanors. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Class B misdemeanors.
Aye.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carry. Class C misdemeanors.
Move to approve.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Wait a minute on Class C. Okay. And we have like that timber, that timber statute. Unlawful stream use.
I know that. You got those things flagged.
All in favor of Class C misdemeanor say aye.
Aye.
Carry. Violation. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carry.
Did you let them get away with unlawful transportation of hay and
movement? Yeah, they wouldn't go with the pork farmers. All right, we're adjourned until 9:30 tomorrow morning.
At which time we will.
I think the objection.
Now the bums are on it again.
There'll be a feast now.
I withdraw my pick.
Show off. Well, what we had on our agenda today, I was hoping that Lee Johnson and Don Clark would be here.
That's the only reason I came.
But since they're not, we might stall for 10 minutes. What I had in mind was this. As you know, this is probably one of the most controversial matters that we've had before the commission since its inception. And the controversy doesn't arise solely from the fact that we differ on the principle that's involved in this thing, but some of the aspects of the controversy are one, the expense, the added expense that would be involved. The question of whether or not we should include the long arms, whatever you call them, and as well as the handguns, whether we should have it all encompassing so that both registration and licensing is provided for both types of weapons, and a number of other things, including the fact, of course, that in the state at large there's a great variance of opinion as to whether or not Oregon should take the step that's being contemplated here. And I know that as we get into this matter today, that there'll be a great deal of discussion, and the same type of controversy that's been evident in the past will reoccur. So I thought, in order to save time and to be sure that everyone has an opportunity to be heard, that perhaps the best way to approach this would be to first, to poll this commission to determine whether or not, first, it's a desire of the majority of the members of the commission to provide legislation within the code for both the long arms and the handgun. And secondly, to see whether or not we wish to have both registration and licensing for both. In the event, for example, that a majority feel that they do not want to fool with this problem, it will be solved. On the other hand, if the majority says, well, we think that we should take some action with respect to handguns, and that it should be restricted to licensing, or both licensing and registration, we can proceed along that line. And then next, and equally important, I believe, is the question of whether or not we wish to make the product of our labors here a part of this code, or whether it should be submitted separately to the legislature. Now, with that background, I'll open this to discussion to see what your views are as to what I have just said here. Judge Burns.
I would speak to it by reversing the order that you mentioned, namely that I'm convinced after, particularly after the difficult and lengthy subcommittee session we had, I am convinced that the best course of action is for...
should it be in the code, number
one? For this commission to make the decision as to whether it should be in the code or not. And my proposal would be that we split off the gun control from the other sections and submit separately to the legislature a gun control bill, which includes handguns and long guns, or whatever the commission ultimately decides, as well as the what might be called the standard criminal parts of it, and send that as a separate package to the legislature. Then the legislature, if it wants to adopt gun control, it can do so. If it doesn't want to, it can take the non-controversial portion of the firearms draft, and it's ready there, whether you have the gun control as a part of it or not. And so there would be, in effect, a bill before them on which the legislature could work its bill separately. I'm convinced, in my own mind, that this is the most feasible way to proceed.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, in the first place, we made these policy decisions we're talking about some time ago. I was getting into this bit. Second, I don't see anything in our authority or direction that says we're supposed to submit. We're here to revise the criminal code. A new criminal code, or a suggested new criminal code. I think that's what we're limited to. And so I think it ought to be in the criminal code. We've made the basic decision that we agreed that we wanted to register and license handguns, and to license long guns, register and license handguns.
And it's
been done.
I want to ask Judge Burns if, in his contemplated suggestion, we would include in the printed draft that will go out hopefully after this meeting here today, the whatever proposal on firearms. Would that be in the tentative draft and be printed up and distributed, or would you propose that would be? Not in there.
I would propose it be printed separately.
All right. Well, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the feasibility and political significance may be of the proposal, I think we have the responsibility to present the proposed revised code to the legislature in a package. We could have done this on the sex article, and it probably could have relieved some members of this body of what might be some pretty embarrassing confrontations that they're going to have. Right. But so to splinter off this. Just because it's going to be controversial, I would agree with Mr. Chandler. Now, I would prefer
to handle it in the manner on the consensus vote, the manner suggested by the chairman, because we might, we might, as a commission vote, contrary to how we previously voted, and we get down to the point where it wouldn't be so controversial, it wouldn't hurt to put it in. I'm not going to vote that way. But what I'm saying is, I think that we should, whatever we do, we should put it in as a package.
Well, I want to make clear that I'm not running for office, so I'm not worried about any of the political implications that may be involved. My principal concern was this. It's possible, and I suspect that this will occur today, that the vote will be somewhat different on the measures as they're submitted for a vote. If it is a part of the code, than it would be if they were to be submitted separately. And that could very well happen. And something that might pass this commission to be submitted separately might be defeated simply because it was going to be a part of the code. And as far as our function is concerned, to revise the criminal laws of the state of Oregon, we're not doing any violence, in my judgment, to the instructions that we have received from the legislature, whether it is a part of the code or whether it isn't, so long as it is submitted and it has been considered. So I'm not worried about that. The only thing that does concern me is that perhaps there's a great deal of merit in certain aspects of this, or perhaps in all of it. But by insisting that it be a part of the code may result in proposals being defeated that otherwise wouldn't. And they'll still be before the legislature, whether they're a part of this code or not, and we will have performed our duty and our function by doing that, John. That's the way I look at it.
Chairman, what you're proposing, Tony, is that it may be emasculated if it's left as part of the code, and we may have a stronger document if it's a separate article.
Yes, that's true.
I agree with Judge Burns that firearms maybe should be presented to the legislature separately. But the reason why I feel that way is that, after the subcommittee meeting, it's apparent that there are some very great financial implications in the firearm draft and the gun control. And this way, at least the firearm draft could be in ways and means what the rest of the code was going through the session. But I'd hate to see the whole code, the whole bill, get held up while the firearms financial implications to the state police would be hashed out in ways and means.
I think the whole thing going to get ways and means. I don't see if that's...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Let me take this off this way. At the previous hearing, I took a position which was a little bit more extreme than this. And I've read the minutes and the drafts and recognized the difficulty the subcommittees had. I think people whose hearts have been strongly in favor of gun control, gun registration, don't really comprehend some of the vast technical problems that the subcommittee ran into, and the commission is facing, and that the legislature will face. So maybe strike the balance. I don't know whether I guess I make a formal motion.
John, shall we, before you make your motion, shall we first see if there are any other members that wish to express any opinion with respect to this?
That is, the extremist is now finished.
I'm in recess.
Now the next extremist. My feeling is that, personal feeling is gun control, as we have gone through the subcommittee, is totally unnecessary, unworkable, and horribly expensive. Personal feeling. Second thing is that my feeling is that the best way we could approach gun control as such would be a point of retail sale registration, handguns only. then go back and work with our existing statutes as far as enhanced penalties and possession, centralization of issuing of permits to carry concealable firearms, and the general reworking of the statutes as they apply to firearms without extremely susceptible to change. I am firmly convinced that if this is in the code and does go to the legislature as the integrated part of criminal law revision work, that we aren't going to see it again. And we're going to, it's not something you can pull out easily and put something else in its place. It's a great deal of reworking. And submitting a document like we're going to have to two judiciary committees, I assume, to be worked over is going to take a tremendous amount of time just as it is. They spend time to rework and integrate an entire new section of the code. I don't think the time is available, even a 150-day session. Thirdly, I don't think there are any financial implications to the rest of the code as such, and I wouldn't see that it would have to go to Ways and Means. Arms control and gun control would necessarily have to go. The testimony we heard from the state police is that it does have rather extreme financial implications. So I would go along with the idea of submitting it as a separate document to the legislature to be treated as a separate document. However, I'm not going to vote in favor of the substantive approach we have right now. We spent an awful lot of time on this. I didn't do much responsible to help out. But I did carve and shot the screen and did see it. And you have no idea what a horribly technically complicated thing this thing is.
Tom or Ken, do you have anything that you wish to say? Tom Young?
Tony, I have Dave remarked part of it. He said it so well. Well, I'm inclined not to agree with Dave. What I would like to determine is some arguments. I would hate to, first of all, risk the rest of the code by leaving an article such as this in. I'm frankly couldn't vote in favor of any portion of it at any time, but I think the practical problem is a political problem. I remember in the last session when there were one or two minor code members were introduced, a great deal of pride to risk the rest of the code, which in my opinion short-form experience on this the risk of the rest of the bill, in my mind, is a man.
Do I take sex, sex crimes out?
No, I'm violent.
It's different. It's a different type of weapon.
Mr. Carson, do you have anything that we should say before that?
I don't think I can count that way. So I'm trying to have it in the code, but I am sensitive to the things Mr. Frost brought out about the other ramifications. The only thing I worry about is that I fear that if we take it outside of the code, then the code then it becomes our bastard child and we'll walk away from it and not face the issue. Since you asked.
Since you were so interested in your reply.
All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Senator Burns.
We've already decided it, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Burns has a motion. It was especially parts from my suggestion.
Especially the motion.
Well. Just in line with what I said, I'm going to move that we restrict it and limit it to registration and licensing of handguns only, just as a strictly political consideration.
Why in the code or out of the code?
In the code.
Why should we go back now and change our policy, our earlier policy determination on which the subcommittee is undertaking two things, the third time it's called before the commission?
Because I don't even think, Bob, that the majority of the subcommittee favored the draft that the subcommittee came out of.
The subcommittee performed its job under some dislike for what it was doing, but it was doing so on instructions from the majority of the commission to do so.
Well, I suppose on a basis that half a loaf is better than none, and possibly if this proposal were to pass,
it's not even half a loaf. We'll throw the whole thing out and not play the lie of saying you've got something.
Any further discussion? Mr. Knight?
Well, again, I have with Bob, at least my understanding of the prior vote that we had in the commission was an instruction to the subcommittee to come. come up with some proposal so that the commission could look at it and go rather than a direction that we actually did take.
The vote was billed as a policy vote on the matter. We were going to take the policy vote and make the decision, and we did.
When was that?
Well, that was this. I don't
March.
Remember which date.
Bob, my recollection is that the subcommittee was instructed to prepare something to resubmit to this commission to see if it was something that we could get something acceptable out of it.
Well, the thing has been before the full commission twice. The first time, as I remember it, we had a discussion and took a general policy vote. The subcommittee came back and reported that it was unable to. At a following meeting, and said it was unable to agree, and the commission told them to go back and work harder. But we made the basic policy decision two meetings ago, whatever it was, on these two proposals. One that a dual provision as far as handguns, both registration and licensing. And for long guns, the licensing of the possessor.
Well, that doesn't accord with my recollection, and I'm sure, I feel confident at least, that no policy decision was made by the full commission on this matter at any time.
We have to dig.
Mr. Chairman, can we consult the minutes? I remember that Mr. Chairman does.
Whether we do or not, we certainly can, but whether we do or not, the action that we're taking here now certainly is not improper. Bob asked the question.
Oh, I'm not saying that we can't do it, Senator. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying that in my opinion anyway, we made that policy decision. We ordered the subcommittee to do certain things in line with that policy decision. Now we're
done. Can you tell us what the minutes show?
We can refer to the minutes, yes, fine. We have the land.
At the time that the full commission directed the subcommittee to prepare drafts, none of us, I think this is a fair statement, none of us realized the terrible drafting problems we would have. And so when we came back the last time, subcommittee simply reported that we were having terrible drafting problems and that it would take more time. And so the upshot was the full commission in effect says go ahead and take more time, stay with it until you get it done. But we stayed with it and we got it done, and I was vain enough to think that what we came up with is in fact a first-rate product, given the inherent difficulties in drafting legislation in this area. It's much superior to the comparable legislation in the East. It is much superior to the draft of the House bill last time, the so-called Kennedy Action Proposal. And it is a first-rate job. And that still doesn't belie the fact that tremendously difficult area to draft legislation in. I'm not happy with it even now, but I do say it's the best draft that I'm aware of anywhere in the country. I don't think it's accurate to say that it's been before the commission twice as a policy matter. And even if it had been, we still have the inherent power to make another policy determination.
Well, while we're looking that up, are you ready for the question on the motion?
Tony, would it be better to separate the, just the question as to whether or not it will be in the code or separate, and then go to what's going to be?
That was my suggestion.
All right,
Senator might have wanted to. The motion is withdrawn.
Then, Mr. Chairman, I would move that the commission agree to submit as a separate package the draft which has been prepared by the subcommittee, and obviously of course after this commission has gone through the draft. But I would move that it be submitted separately from the balance of the criminal code.
Okay.
your whatever result comes from the consideration of these drafts be submitted separately. Wally?
I'd like to have the opportunity, if we water this down, so really it's nothing but a rewrite of our present firearm code, which I hear rumblings about, then I'd like the opportunity to bring this motion back up again, because if it's nothing more than a rewrite, or it's just a tinker, then there's no point of putting it outside.
You
have to break it into the circle someplace. I think that
obviously, if my motion is adopted, and if thereafter the commission takes most of the draft out, I assume that you or I could again move to put it back in.
You all understand the motion?
No. I was reading the minutes when you said the motion.
The motion is that whatever result comes from the consideration by this commission of the drafts which will be before it be submitted separately and not be contained in the code. And Mr. Carson requested the privilege, which he obviously has, that if what we ultimately come out with is nothing but a rewrite of what we already have, then he wants the privilege to move that it be placed in the code. Call the roll on the motion.
Outside the motion that would have been removed from the code.
That's right.
Judge Burns?
Aye.
Sanderberg?
No.
Carson?
No.
Chandler?
No.
Clark?
Yes.
Ross?
Aye.
Jernstek?
Aye.
Knight?
Aye.
Young?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, may I explain my vote for the record?
Surely.
I voted yes because I think that we have a better chance of coming up with a strong piece of legislation than if it were left in the code.
All right, are we ready to proceed then? Are there any further motions?
Now, as I understand the effect of Judge Burns' motion, it would be removed from Article 28. Only those provisions which involving registration and licensing, that the possession of a blackjack or a slung shot
or a dirk
or a sand club
or a stiletto
or a bludgeon or a stiletto or any of those things is still going to be in part of the code.
No.
The whole thing.
Take all of Article 28. Okay, I just wanted to understand.
Aren't we using a wrong term if they take it outside the code and it just
submitted separately.
Submitted
two bills
rather than taking it out.
It's
not going to be taken
out of
the code.
Well, our proposed vote, I think, is what they have
done. Now, are there any further motions before we're ready to proceed? Do you want to restate your motion or not?
I think you're going to go through the through it section by section. I made my motion as kind of an effort to get it watered down so that the commission had accepted and put it in the code where I think it belongs. But I don't think I'll make the motion now.
All right.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think it might save us some time. That is, I would move that any consideration of licensing and registration of firearms be confined to handguns and not include so-called long guns.
You've heard the motion. That's your motion in effect.
That's what John's
talking
about.
Any
well, make it John's motion. I'll second it.
The Burns Cross motion. Any discussion?
There is a difference, is there not, between those two motions?
Yeah.
Yeah,
difference in intent anyway.
I reserve the right, Mr. Chairman, to change my vote. 5 times.
Wow. You?
Oh God.
Bob.
Oh God. Struggle with my conscience. Bob, bail me out.
I looked at this morning's Salem Statesman. Salem Statesman is not a large newspaper by American newspaper standards. Salem's not a large town by American town standards. And between pages 1 and 8, I found 3 stories. Page 2, Circuit Court placed a young man, 24 years old, found guilty by a jury Tuesday, pointing a firearm at another after he charge of assault with a dangerous weapon after a dance at the Catholic Church in Woodburn. Pointed a rifle at the officer.
You sure that was a Catholic church?
That's what it said. We had an officer who was trying to break up a fight.
Pointed that was advocating a new abortion law.
Page 5, former medal patient who shot 3 hospital officials and killed himself with a long gun. Page 8,
I don't think that man would have had a license.
Gunshot death of a Salem man early Thursday was ruled accidental by tentatively by the district attorney's office. He was prowling around the building, searching through a drawer, and found the gun he picked up and was handling it while his companion began to look through some other things in the drawer, and the gun went off and died. So I don't say that this is probably confined to handguns. Ex-felons or mental patients or anything else. I think it's a serious national problem. I admit that the problem is growing fastest in the field of handguns. Handguns have been outselling long guns in this country. The sale of handguns in this country has quadrupled in the last 6 years. When I have no, except for the occasional collector, the occasional guy who has them and needs them for, buys them because he's a police officer or something of this sort, they have no practical, legitimate value. But the long guns have been an equally serious problem, I think, as far as just killing people with them. That's what we're really talking about. Being used to kill people.
Mr. Chairman.
Don.
I agree with Mr. Chandler, which is rare. Usually disagree with him. This code says that it looks on handguns very carefully and with some disfavor. It says that it looks on long guns less so. And I think that's what the statistics and everything else show, that one is much more of an evil than the other. But it does tell the people of the state of Oregon, too, that having a firearm is a great responsibility, and that the state of Oregon wants people to have them to be licensed to have them. And there's something that's said, other than what's said in the code, when we force somebody to be licensed. It goes further with a handgun. It says not only do we want people to be licensed to have these guns, but we also want the gun to be registered. I think that's most important. I think that if I look through here and I through our whole code and I saw any one thing that really, if people were interested in law and order, quote, and they want to do something to help the police of the state of Oregon, this is the section that does it more than any other section. And I would hate to see us emasculated. And I'd rather see us pass none at all than take the long guns out.
A lot of law and order where guns aren't involved, too. Portland State, University of Oregon, etc.
We're trying to send Anthony Trott to the park last night, and the guy walked in, getting a 45 or pistol of some sort. Of.
Where was that?
In Eugene.
Were you jogging?
Well, but you're
being a little fast.
Speed pick.
Any further discussion?
Sure. This Frost Burns motion.
Take Burns' name off, but he doesn't like
it. Would it be kosher to see where we stand on this? Further amend the Dave's motion by first determining whether or not the commission wants to consider licensing and control of either long arm
coming next.
Well, I think that's coming next, isn't it?
Yeah.
Question.
All right, call the roll. The motion is that we consider handguns only, in effect.
Jeff Burns?
No.
Sandra Burns?
No.
Carson?
No.
Chandler?
No.
Clark?
No.
Frost?
Aye.
Jernstad?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Young?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
Failed.
Motion is failed. Well, I don't think there's any need to go any further then.
Okay.
Do you want to start with your draft?
Well, yeah, for the record, only.
All right.
I would move that consideration of legislation be limited to the point of sale registration of so-called EMS, point of retail sale.
No.
Same motion?
No transfers, no.
Right, no licensing. To all of the sets, still licensing as to carrying the seal as the law is.
Mr. Chairman?
And the reason, I may, one quick statement as to why, recommendation comes from the police region by Jim Smasher, who's the investigator for the West States for Department of Revenue, alcohol tax, and gun tax division, who said that as a policeman actively involved, most of the side is head, dealing with guns, registration of guns, and federal acts, that would be very helpful to be able to pinpoint a concealable firearm at the point of time and owner at that time. That is a matter of police investigation from there to see what happens with afterwards. But he was rather convinced that the license and registration as such, beyond that point, would be effectual and not be much help to police investigator.
Mr. Clark.
First of all, I see this as precisely the same issue because it limits the handguns, and we just voted on that issue, and we voted not to limit the handguns.
Well,
secondly, it deals with individuals, with individual sections, and I would like to go through the code if we're going to deal with individual sections and see what they have to say before we begin just summarily emasculating the code.
Well, the chair will recognize that the motion is a different one. Is there any further discussion? Call the roll.
Judge Burns?
No.
Sandra Burns?
No.
Carson?
No.
Chandler?
No.
Clark?
No.
Frost?
Aye.
Jernigan?
Aye.
Knight?
No.
Young?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye. Defeated. All right, Article 28.
What's your next privilege of delay? I'm hoping we adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Red tab at the top, designated firearm.
A lot of good stuff in here, Ben.
Mr. Chairman, before I have Roger start through this draft, I hope that everyone's had an opportunity to go through the introductory commentary. And I think it's particularly interesting if you'll look on page 5 of the draft, you can see some of the sources.